Good evening. As announced, the scripture reading will be coming from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. John 15, 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Read along with me to the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. John 15, 1 through 11.
Appreciate Steve reading that passage of scripture. That will be our text for tonight, John chapter 15. Everyone should be there already. John chapter 15. What a powerful passage of scripture this is. Really, you could produce a series of lessons from this familiar passage. But I want you to notice before we even get into that, as you go back to the previous chapter, chapter 14, we have one of the more familiar statements of Jesus at verse 6. John chapter 14, and at verse 6, you'll remember this well, I'm sure. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know that that is the case with Jesus. He is the only way that we can make it to heaven after a while. He's the only way we can have any fellowship with God now. And so we need to recognize the importance of being in Christ and being constantly connected to Him. I was looking at something on my computer last week, and I think I was watching a movie or something, and all of a sudden I get the sign that comes up, low power. And I looked at it, had like 3% on my battery. And I went, how in the world does that happen? I have it and my laptop is always plugged in, but I looked at it and it was kind of dangling there and it wasn't really connected like it should have been. And we recognize that if you're going to get any power, you have to be connected. You have to be plugged in to the right source. And that is the case, of course, with Jesus. He is the source of life. He is the way. He is the truth. And we need to make sure that we are constantly connected to Him. And that really is the message in chapter 15. Jesus emphasizes to us over and over again in these few verses here how important it is to abide in Him. And that's the thought that I want us to get into our minds tonight, that we need to abide in Christ. That means to continue in a permanent state in Christ. One of the great problems, I think, with Christians today, with children of God and the body of Christ, is the idea of consistency, of being in Christ and remaining faithful to Him day after day after day and really year after year after year. Because there's too many who find themselves, again, wavering from time to time. Or, as we often say, too many Christians who are wishy-washy. They're faithful for a little while and then unfaithful for a little while. And it's not just in areas that really immediately impact our souls, but even as we are striving to serve God, we might pray consistently for a while and then it stops and we're not quite as consistent as we should be. Or we might study like we should and then we stop studying like we should. And we're just wavering back and forth. And what we need to understand is the power of really reaping the full benefit of being Christians, the power of being alive in God and to God is consistency. It's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 58, he said, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that you know that your labor is not in vain." And there's the real danger of not abiding, of not making sure that we are faithful to God every single day. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back, or we don't know when we're going to die. Those are two things that we just can't be sure about. And if Jesus ever comes back, or if we happen to die in a situation when we're not faithful, then it doesn't matter how long we have been faithful. It doesn't matter what we've done for the Lord over the years. Our labor is in vain. And Jesus understood the importance of remaining plugged in, of continuing to be connected to Him, or as He puts it, abiding in Him. That's where there's life. And so He says in the first four verses of John chapter 15, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So abide, abide, abide. That's what He keeps saying. Because he understands that's the only place where there's life in Him. We remember all the passages that talk about the importance of being in Christ in the first place. Ephesians 1 and at verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Of course, there's Romans 8 at verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 2 and at verse 10, Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And there's many other passages that either specifically talk about being in Christ, or it might say in the Lord, or something that gives that indication that that's where there is life. When we're plugged into Christ, when we're connected to Him, and the power is in abiding in Him day after day after day, that's where there's life. But there's a lot of other benefits other than life itself. That's the primary thing. We want to be alive spiritually, and we want to have the hope of heaven. We want to go to heaven after a while. That's the real power of abiding in Christ. But it's not like we don't have wonderful benefits right now. And Jesus mentions a few things in this context that we enjoy right now if we'll just abide in Him. The one obvious one that comes out right in the beginning is that we will bear fruit. And when you read all of these verses, you find by the end, He's talking about bearing much fruit. And that should be the goal of all of us who are Christians. We should want to be fruit-bearing Christians. And if we're not, we're in trouble. He emphasizes here in those verses that we just read that if we're not bearing fruit, we're good for nothing but simply to be taken away. In verse 6, He indicates that we will be cast into the fire if we're not bearing fruit. And so our souls are at stake. But it's wonderful as Christians. It should be our goal to bear fruit. Whether you're talking about the fruit of other Christians, of winning souls to Christ, which is probably the primary thing that he's talking about in this context. But it may be other fruit. We could talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 that Paul wrote about. But we can't bear any of that fruit unless we abide in him. And we miss all of the benefits of being fruit-bearing Christians if we're wishy-washy and we're not abiding. Remember, if we're not continuing in a permanent condition or state in Christ. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. What about you? You can only do that if you continue to be connected to Christ and continue to be faithful. But I want you to notice just a few other things in this text very quickly. At verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so abiding in Christ is what helps us to reach our full potential from the standpoint of prayer. In fact, it's the only way that we can have a praying relationship with God. Is if we abide in Christ, because again, we can do nothing without him. That includes approaching our Heavenly Father in prayer. And we remember, of course, that this idea of abiding in Christ, that's where faithfulness is. If we're not abiding in Christ, we're not faithful, which means we're sinning. We are active sinners if we're not abiding in Christ, remaining faithful to him each and every day. Well, that affects our prayer life. The Bible clearly teaches us that God heareth not sinners. And that's not just talking about those who have never obeyed the gospel. It certainly applies to them, but anyone, even who has obeyed the gospel, if you're living an unfaithful life to God, he's not going to listen to you. But Jesus says, if we abide in him, we can ask what we will and it will be done. And so that's a wonderful benefit. Not only do we have life and the hope of eternal life, it's what allows us to have a praying relationship with God. And that is a wonderful thing that should bring us joy. Here's something else. In verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know you're living a life that brings glorification to your Heavenly Father? That is actually a privilege. It should be something, again, that is the goal of our life. Paul wanted to glorify Christ because he knew that glorified the Father. You might remember how he put it in Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 20. Philippians, the first chapter, and at verse 20, he writes this. As it is my eager expectation. Now, you notice that. Those are strong words. This is how important it was for Paul. It's my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with all courage, now as always, Christ will be honored, the King James says, magnified in my body, which whether it is by life or by death. And you can just tell, reading it, that Paul wanted that. It was his earnest expectation that, first of all, he wouldn't be ashamed about anything associated with Christ. By the way, if you're ashamed of anything that's associated with Christ, you're not going to glorify him and you're not going to glorify God. But Paul, he was excited. It was his expectation because he wasn't ashamed of Jesus, of his suffering, of his doctrine, of anything that was associated with him, his church, and nothing, Paul said, will I be ashamed. Because he wanted to magnify Christ, which again would glorify God. But that's motivation for us. When Jesus himself was talking about letting your light shine, what's the motivation for that? Not only that there will be a great reward in heaven, but that God would be glorified. For the faithful Christian who is grounded and rooted in the faith, that means a whole lot. That should be one of the purposes of our life. Whether you're at school, on the job, or wherever you go, you want to glorify God. But you can only do that in one place. And that is in Christ. You must abide in Christ. And he says something else in verse 8. Notice the end of that. He talks about bearing fruit again. He says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. But then he says, and so prove to be my disciples. Where do you prove that you are a real disciple of Christ? Not just in word, but in deed. That you continue to be a learner. You continue to be a follower of Christ. Don't we all want to be disciples of Christ? Of course we do. It's one of the great descriptions of those who are children of God. But where do you prove that? It's abiding in Christ. Not being faithful one week and unfaithful the next week. Not living the way God wants you to for a month or two and then just living your own way for several months and then coming back and living faithfully. That's not where you can prove your discipleship. Jesus says it's by abiding in me. And so we should be able to start putting together how important it is to be consistent, to be constant in the lifestyles that we live for God. Abiding in him. And he even goes on to say, if you notice at verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Where can you tap into the full joy of Christianity? So that just happens automatically when I obey the gospel. No, it comes from your ongoing relationship with God. Your relationship with Jesus that's unbreakable, that is consistent and constant again, day in and day out, week in and week out. You are serving God. You are serving Christ. You are abiding in him. And that's where there's life. That's the most important thing. Don't forget. You want to go to heaven and be sure about it. Then you train yourself to constantly serve Jesus, to be consistent about it. After a while, some of the things that we do, you do it almost automatically, not robotically without any heart. We know God doesn't want us to serve him like that. But it's just a part of your life. It becomes ingrained in you to come to services like this. To pray and to study, to just follow the commandments of God, which, by the way, is a part of all of it. How is it that we abide in Christ? Isn't it by keeping his commandments? When we look at this passage again, down at verse 9, it says, and as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And those two things, you really can't distinguish between abiding in Christ and abiding in his love. But you only do that when you keep his commandments. And that's what we need to consistently do. The flesh will try to fight against that. The devil will do all he can to stop us from abiding in Christ. Do you ever notice the devil doesn't attack the unregenerated ever? Like, we don't have any example of him going for those outside of the body of Christ. He doesn't care about them. He already has them in his grasp. But he wants to stop you, those of you who have obeyed the gospel, from being consistent in abiding constantly and consistently. He doesn't want you to be steadfast. He doesn't want you to be unmovable. Because then he knows he has a chance. But if we're abiding in Christ, we have life. We have all of those things that we go back to chapter 14 to say. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. We have that, and we can be sure about it as long as we abide. Let's follow the advice of Jesus and abide in Him so we can bear fruit and we can pray whenever we want to and we can reap the benefits, the great joy of being in Him. I hope that we'll do that. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. That means, of course, you're outside of Christ. And most of the things we talked about tonight, you cannot enjoy. It doesn't have anything to do with God not loving you. He does love you. That's why He spared not His Son, so that you could obey the gospel of Christ and reap all of the benefits of abiding in Him. But again, He has done His part. It's up to you to follow His instruction. And thankfully, you don't have to do anything real difficult. Acts 2 at verse 38, you need to repent and be baptized. There's nothing difficult in that. Repentance is just having a change of heart. And when you begin to weigh the benefits of being a Christian and the hope that you have against the terrible things that will come eventually, and sometimes even right now, for being outside of Christ, and you want, which one do I want? Do I want heaven or do I want hell? Do I want that full joy or do I want a life of frustration, sadness and sorrow without any answers? It doesn't take long to start to think, to start to understand, I want to be in Christ where the blessings are, but you have to do your part. Repent and be baptized. Peter said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. You can do that this very day. Get into Christ and remain in Christ and have the hope of heaven after a while. Come forward as we together stand and sing.